You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So hype right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. Ooh. This the truth like 34. Yeah. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly.
Welcome back. Yes, this is the Locked On Celtics Podcast. I am John Corrales. I am your host. I cover the team for MassLive.com. Thank you for joining me for the first of your 5 days. This is the second of 5 days a week free daily podcasting. Joining me today, also covering the Celtics for MassLive.com, my guy, Tom Westerholm. Tom, how are you feeling today?
I am feeling good. I'm watching Marcus Morris just boop Justin Anderson on the head with a basketball, like on a loop. And listen, man, we're going to have fun covering this year's team. There's going to be a lot of fun guys to cover, but I don't know that any of them are going to be as much fun as Mook was, because like he would do something like that, or he would pop off in a post-game scrum just about something that you didn't see coming at all. Or, you know, he was just like a generally genial guy. I really liked him, and I am sad to see that we won't be covering him this year. Anyway, that's my my intro rant.
That was something. From Mook, got himself kicked out of a preseason game.
That's some real king stuff. Like he just he walked on that court. He got a whole bunch of buckets in the first half. He's like, yep. I'm done with this, and I'm sick of Justin Anderson. And he smacked him in the head with a basketball.
Yep.
Like that's a king.
After nearly trying to rip his face off with an elbow. So I can't wait to see what the post game presser is going to be like. For the Knicks, but unfortunately, we won't get to cover Mook or probably anybody who's going to pop off quite like Mook on this team. So we'll have to make other things interesting. In the meantime, we'll have our own
that's
stuff
true.
To talk about.
Quick side note: that's true. Nobody on this team is going to. There's going to be we got no beef.
So let's talk about this for just a second before I lay out the rest of the show. Like that's the downside. Like we sat here and we're all like, okay, we're as a group of writers, reporters, we're like, okay, we don't have to navigate this whole Kyrie craziness. Like Kyrie talking for 3 minutes and then trying to pick out three sentences to try to get the gist of what he was saying. So people can actually understand what he's reading. Like we don't have to deal with all of this walking on eggshells, blah, blah, blah. The trade-off is we don't get to cover Mook. We don't get to cover somebody that's going to just go nuts and pop off to the media. Like Marcus Smart is good for it once per season.
Yeah, like, he's the only option.
But no one else. Like who else is going to do it? There's nobody on this team that's going to go off and be like, like you can get like genuine comments from like I think Jalen gives you like a genuine comment. I think some of these other guys will give you the rookies. Grant I think is good. Like these guys aren't gonna like bullshit us, but you're just not gonna get that raw, unfiltered greatness of Mook. You're just not.
No, you're definitely not. And it's a little sad. I almost kind of wonder if they're going to miss that edge a little bit. Like, Smart really is the only guy who's like that we know of. I mean, maybe like Poire or something is going to like surprise us and just be like a real mean streak dude on the court. But yeah, I kind of wonder if they're going to miss that edge a little bit just because they did have a couple of guys who were, you know, who weren't afraid to mix it up last year.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's an interesting side note for this season because they do not have any of those guys. It'd be interesting to see if anybody does step up and kind of take that role outside of Marcus. It really is going to have to be Marcus Smart. Like that's his. That's going to be his role. This team is really not going to be about edge. This team is going to succeed by doing all of the stuff that Brad has been preaching throughout the entire week plus now. Togetherness, ball movement, you know, forget the isolation, work the ball around, all that stuff. And if they start to get pushed around, then Marcus steps up, and then, you know, we'll see. You know who might low key kind of be willing to mix it up is Grant. He's a goof, but he's strong, and you could see, you could see there's a moment in yesterday's game where, I think he disagreed with, it was the foul where the ball was out of bounds. You could see like the disagreement with the ref. Like there was a little tiny hint of, competitiveness there that kind of bubbled over. He has it every once in a while. So I'm kind of curious if he might low-key be a guy.
I don't even know if it's every once in a while. I mean, if you go back and watch him, like, obviously he's like a fun loving dude. His teammates like him. Like, you know, like he likes to try to bring people together. He's big on all that stuff, but I don't even know if it's every once in a while. I think he just kind of has that when he plays, you know, and you know, he might be smiling on the bench or whatever, but he's like a really competitive guy. He's not like, people shouldn't mistake his goofiness for like not caring, like, or not being competitive or not being passionate. Like, I think he's, you know, I think he's got that, and it's, it might look a little incongruous sometimes just because he's, you know, like because he's smiling all the time. But I think that every once in a while we are going to see, you know, a little bit of that on the court. We saw a little bit of it in summer league, you know. Sure. I wouldn't be surprised if that comes out every once in a while.
Well, we use that to transition into the bigs, because he's one of the bigs. And like later on, we'll talk. I got some words for Terry Rozier later on in the show, and we'll dive a little bit more into Jason Tatum in the second segment. But this first segment is supposed to be about the bigs, because that was, I think, one of the, pardon the pun, not really intended, big stories coming out of last night's game against Charlotte. What, you know, our first chance to get to see exactly how these bigs are going to work. I feel like everybody, we kind of get a sense of like how the wings are going to work. Like, nobody's worried about that. You know, nobody's worried about, like, worried a little bit about the bench and maybe some of the lineups. But, you know, I think kind of everybody's like, yeah, Kemba and Tatum and Brown, like Gordon, even, like, we're kind of curious to see what he's going to end up being. But like, everybody's kind of cool with that for now. It's Cantor or Rob or Poirier or whatever. Like, so I wrote a piece on Mass Live, kind of breaking down a little video breakdown, which, side note, how great was it to just be breaking down video today? Yeah.
To have an actual game to rewatch.
Watching a game and be like, oh, okay, I see this, I see that. So in this, I started out, and I'll just go through like what I wrote on Mass Live, starting from the starter, Robert Williams. I've come to a place after thinking about this all day and looking at the video and writing the piece. I am very, very willing to throw this game away for Robert Williams. I just, from what Brad said after the game, where he talked about Rob being keyed up and like winded after 2 minutes, he was so bad in this game, like worse than he was in summer league. Maybe a worse than I'd seen him play all last year. His no focus, no real kind of efforts to do the fundamental things. Always out of position for the most part. He made some athletic plays, but I really feel like somehow he psyched himself out. And I think this game is... if he goes out and has a decent game against Orlando and does some things well, I'm perfectly willing to just throw this Charlotte game away and be like, that's an outlier. It doesn't apply.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, like, you're absolutely right, though. I mean, he was brutal. And, so, you know, it was, and it was funny because it was like, it wasn't, you know, and Brad kind of hinted at this. It wasn't an effort problem. It was just like where he was putting the effort in. Like, he's, you know, like the areas where he where he, like, you know, what he tried really hard to do was not the correct thing, like, really at any point. Like, he just he was always out of position, like you said. You know, those the blocks look really nice because he gets up so high, but they take him out of position. I mean, the guy just needs to not jump and just slide his feet and just kind of, you know, study this 6 or 7 minutes of Poirier. And I know we'll get to him in a little bit, but, you know, study what he did. And like, Rob has such better tools than Vincent Poirier. So he should be able to do all the things that Poirier is doing much, much better. But he's got to learn how to do them all. And look, I mean, anybody who's played basketball, you can come into the game, you can go through your layup lines, you can go into the huddle, your coach can tell you, you know, okay, listen, here's the exact game plan. And if you're super keyed up and you're super nervous and you're just like really thinking about like, okay, I got to make a good impression. It is super easy for all that stuff to go out the window immediately. And I would not be at all surprised if that's what happened to Rob. Now, that being said, you know, you can only make excuses for a guy for so long, and he needs to prove something during this preseason. But I think that it's very fair to just say, listen, like, throw the first game out the window, like, let him get his legs under him a little bit. You know, let's see what happens in game two. Let's see how he plays against Orlando. I think that's the right way to look at it. That being said, you also probably need to have a contingency plan in case Orlando and then Cleveland, he looks pretty much exactly the same.
Yes, absolutely. The way I put it was, it's dragging something from your desktop into the trash, but not emptying the trash just yet. You know,
yeah.
I'll empty that later when I know that I'm good. And I'm not good yet with Rob. Why don't I do this? Let's take a break. A thought popped into my head that I want to explore. I want to flesh this out with you. And it has to do with Taco Fall and how it relates to Robert Williams. Take a break right here. Come back with more on that on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
So Taco Fall has been everywhere. He's the sensation. He's the guy. A year ago, Robert Williams was the sensation. He was the guy. He was the Time Lord. He was kind of like, similarly, the sideshow-ish guy with... His was more the freakish talent, like the freakish physical ability, but he had that kind of goofiness that, you know, miss the plane, forget your wallet, all that stuff. Now Taco Fall is that guy. And this thought popped into my head, and I just guessing. I wonder if there's any kind of like Rob thinking like, wait a minute, everybody should be chanting for me. Like, I remember coming into the game and getting the applause, and now everybody's chanting, "We want Taco." And when Taco checked in, people were going nuts. Nobody was going nuts for, like, Rob caught the alley-oop to start the game, and that was nice, but, like, there was, I don't know. I might just completely be making this up, but I just wonder if there's a thing in his head that's like, well, why he went out and played so poorly is because he got caught up in the, I need to get some highlights out here because I need to get the, like, I'm playing to the crowd. Rather than playing the game, I'm playing to the crowd.
Maybe. You never want to read too much into people's reactions.
This
on the
absolutely
bench.
Can just be a complete reach. I am fully aware that this could be a very big reach on my part.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. It's tough to say. I mean, Rob is a, you know, he seems like he's honestly, like, despite all of his, you know, like his kind of, I don't, not antics, but despite all the things that he, you know, the immaturity that he showed last year, he seems like he's got a pretty good, you know, head on his shoulders in terms of just like not being that type of guy, just like from my interactions with him. But that being said, I mean, yeah, he's definitely not the sensation anymore, but it's almost way better to not be the sensation because, I mean, you know, the thing about Taco and it is that, you know, he's not going to be in right away and Brad isn't going to put him in the first quarter, even though the fans are chanting for him. And, you know, he's like, it's kind of uncomfortable, really, because he's sort of the sideshow and people are really cheering for the sideshow. And last year, you know, Rob, to a certain extent, was the sideshow. And now Rob is in, you know, he's the main, one of the main attractions. Like, he started, he's expected to perform now. He's expected to really have a major role on this team. And I mean, to me, that would be better than, you know, being the guy that everybody cheered for just because you came in, because like, these guys aren't dumb at all. You know, they know that, like, and I mean, I think Brad kind of hinted at this too. Like, they know how uncomfortable this must be for Taco to an extent. And he would never say it, but like, to be this guy who, you know, like, he's not being cheered for his basketball skill. He's just being cheered because, like, people, like, it's almost like an ironic thing, you know, like, and I, and that almost to me is one of the uncomfortable things about all the Taco Fall stuff. Rob isn't that guy anymore. Now Rob is a guy who's expected to contribute and who's expected to play. And that, to me, that would be just super preferable. And I, you know, I can't speak for him, but it would be interesting to know what he thinks about all that.
Yeah, it's probably a reach, but and the reason why I reached like that was because the thought popped into my head that Rob was really trying to make highlight plays throughout the whole game.
Yeah.
He was going for the big home run play, and he's certainly physically capable of that, but he needs to lay the foundation of fundamentals and the sliding, the positioning. The play that I highlighted where I forget who it was that he let get by him on the right, but he was just dropping in pick and roll coverage and he was kind of standing up a little too tall. His arms weren't really fully out. He wasn't really wide. The ball went right past him to a guy that literally a half second ago just passed him on his right. And he reacted like he didn't even realize that guy was there. Like, he wasn't focused. And in Summer League, we saw him focused. Like, he was trying to make fundamental plays, and as the week went on, he got better and was doing things better. So for some reason the focus wasn't there, and that's kind of why I reached. But that's I'm willing to throw that out. We'll see if the kid gets his head on straight, comes in. Orlando's going to be a good test because they get a lot of big guys, and that's going to be, I think, a good test.
Yeah, and I think the only thing that I would say to that is if you go back to his college career, like, he survived on those highlight plays when you watch him back then. Like, he was never fundamental. It's just that, like, in college he could get away with a lot of the stuff that he does now because, you know, the paint is more clogged for one thing, and, you know, it's just easier to get by on your freakish athleticism. And so that was one of the things people always said was, like, he's going to need to develop these things in the NBA. So that to me kind of goes back to what, you know, if you come into a game and you're nervous and you're trying to show yourself, you definitely might fall back on your bad habits. So to me, that's probably more likely just because that was kind of how he always played. He chased blocks. He tried to, you know, send the thing into the 15th row and, you know, was often successful in college, and he's occasionally successful in the NBA, but NBA players are much, much smarter than college players and know how to take advantage of a guy who's committed like that. So,
well, you're probably right, but I like my theory better.
All right. Well, no, it's canon. It's canon now.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. That makes a lot more sense. Let me briefly touch on Enes Kanter, only briefly because I feel like kind of he just was Enes Kanter. Like, there's nothing that really stood out. Like, he's just not going to be able to defend much in space. He'll do okay. Like, just if somebody's trying to back him down, he'll do okay. He's a strong guy, but
he is.
A guy trying to drive on him in space, he's going to give up ground. And he could benefit from some positioning too. And maybe the Celtics coaching can get him to, like, just turn his hips just a little bit so he's not giving up a wraparound layup. He's kind of driving a guy. Like, I'm not asking for too much, but there was a play that I highlighted where the guard just went right by him. Like, okay, fine. It's hard to keep up with him. But then he opened up his hips and just let the guard keep going around for the wraparound layup. And I was like, that just can't. You got to at least take one more slide, just one more, and try to get the guy to, like, turn back around and bring the ball back around. Like, I'm not asking for a full stop, but just a little tiny, tiny bit more of a deterrent. But that's that's Cantor, right?
Yep. My favorite Cantor play, I tweeted it out. But I didn't tweet out the whole play, which was almost too bad because it was actually really funny. There were like 7 seconds left in the first half, and Terry Rozier took an inbound. And I have never seen a man more casual about bringing the ball up with 7 seconds left than Rozier was. And I was like, why isn't he going? Why isn't he going? Guy comes out, sets the pick and roll, lob pass with 1 second left. It's just an alley-oop dunk. And like, because the Celtics pick and roll defense just broke down so hard, and it was Cantor and Kemba. And it was really funny because, I mean, Terry could not have been more confident with 7 seconds left that he was going to be able to create that bucket, because he was just loafing up the court, very casual pick and roll, big dunk. And it was kind of the Enes Cantor pick and roll experience. But I also thought, to his credit, I mean, you sort of see why people keep trying him, because his offense is really good. Like, he does so much, like in terms of like offensive rebounding, like he is always in there. He's always got a shot at it. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, he's amazing at positioning himself for that, which is kind of strange because it's, you know, he's so good at positioning himself for offensive rebounds, but he can't position himself defensively. And he is really good in the post, and he, you know, he does sort of have a lot that he can bring to the table offensively. I just think that's, you know, you hear so much about how bad he is on the defensive end that then you see him offensively and you're like, oh, now I understand why he's hung around the NBA for so long, even though, you know, he really does struggle on one end of the floor.
Yeah. So it's, he is who he is. And I think it's going to be interesting to see whether he ends up being the starter, because, and I wanted to bring in the caveat, because this is only about 5.5 minutes of Vincent Poirier. But damn it, if it wasn't 5.5 minutes of good fundamental defense. Like, the few plays that he had on the defensive end where he was fully engaged in the play, he slid his feet. He cut off driving angles. He had his hands up. It was a form of rim protection simply by not letting guys get to the rim. The play where Grant Williams came over and two-hand blocked Cody Zeller was set up by the fact that Poirier slid, forced Zeller to turn into the lane, slid again. Zeller was off balance, and it just really let Grant come in and just swallow up the whole play. That was good, fundamental basketball that I really wish I'd seen more of, it because I want to know how real it is. And again, going back to the Orlando thing, some good bigs against in Orlando. I want to, if he can do this same thing against the Orlando Magic, now you start to wonder, like, okay, maybe he's the guy that should be starting.
He's going to be really interesting. You know, you mentioned his defense, and he looked significantly better than the other guys who the Celtics threw out there. He's bigger than Tice, who we didn't see, and who is good defensively. You know, Tice, the problem is that he can't deal with Embiid. He can't even come close to dealing with Embiid because he's just too small. But, you know, Poirier, I mean, I think it's interesting that we've seen Poirier just like splashing three-pointers in practice. You know, mm-hmm. like they're trying to space him out to the three-point line, and you know, that would make a big difference. And I think the very first play of the game, he came in and just, you know, on the one end, I don't remember if he got the rebound or not, but you just saw him sprint the floor to the offensive end. And that was what he did in Europe. And you know, guys learned to look for him on those like full court sprints where he just like, you know, just motors ahead. And every once in a while, that's going to create a layup or a dunk on the other end. Like, that's valuable stuff. Like, and I think the other thing to remember with Poirier, if he proves to be a, you know, even like a C-plus defender where the rest of the Celtics big defenders are all in the Ds, like if he's a C-plus defender, the Celtics do not need him to be basically anything offensively aside from like a good screener.
Right.
And he set a lot of really good screens. They have enough offense. Like, they can get buckets, tons of different lineups that can just score, 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 score. They need to be able to defend. And if he can do that, yeah, I don't think it's crazy at all to think that he might be able to be a starter and to play a major role.
Well, kind of goes back to when I was making the argument for Grant Williams as a starter. The reasoning was they need a guy in that starting lineup who doesn't give a shit about his offense. That's going to go do
exactly
the dirty work, or as he likes to say, the dirty job. same rationale, different player. Like if they want to go in and start both Jalen and Gordon with Kemba and Tatum, well then maybe Poirier is the guy that is doing the dirty work, sets the picks, catches the lob every once in a while, crashes the boards, and then plays solid defense on the other end. And then Cantor comes in with Marcus Smart, runs pick and rolls, and they just have an offensive-minded kind of second unit. You know, bring in Carson Edwards, who lit it up, and then kind of go in that route. Like, that could be something that works. And maybe Grant on the second unit kind of helps with the, because his intelligence, he can help like guide that defense in the second unit with Cantor and just being communicative. Like maybe that's the answer. And we go with the plan that I've laid out with Robert Williams just going to Maine and figuring out all of those habits and building those habits in Maine.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's all fair. I am curious. I mean, Grant is so strong, but he is not tall, man.
He's not.
He's not a tall, but not a tall individual.
He is strong and he is smart. And, you know, there will be lineups where the height, that's just going to be a problem. And if he becomes a big part of the Celtics rotation and they play Philly, then it's going to be real interesting to see how he does. And again, Orlando's a big team. So we're going to get a test of, how
a little preview,
you know, like how do you handle that excessive height? So it's going to be interesting. And so one preseason game, we bring up these possibilities because the thoughts pop into our head after the next preseason game. Different thoughts can pop into our head, but at least now I wonder if Poirier could be a starter. Like there is now some, at least the beginnings of evidence that can back you up in at least having that thought. So, well,
you want a fun, fun with stats here?
Oh yeah, sure.
So Enes Kanter's defensive rating in the first preseason game.
Yeah.
According to NBA.com/stats, which is, you know, pretty good.
Sure.
88.9.
Oh, so like the best defensive player in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, let that marinate.
Oh, all right. Well, let's take a break. We're going to come back. I'm going to yell at Terry Rozier. Stick around for that next on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. Tom, that play you described earlier, do you know what I'm going to say about that play?
I'm going to go ahead and guess that it has something to do with the fact that Terry Rozier completed a lob pass.
An awesome alley-oop. Perfectly on target. Where the hell was that? Like, early in the game, he passed up an open three. He drove and kicked it out to a guy waiting in the corner. This dude had 9 assists. He connected on a perfect alley-oop. Where the hell was this last year? This was the Terry Rozier that we needed last year.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, man, I'm going to let you take this rant because I have queued up for Rozier is a really funny Terry Rozier quote. So, because when we were talking before this show, you were mad about it.
I am heated about this because last year, Terry Rozier couldn't wrap his head around playing the right way, making the right pass, making the right play. Now, again, same caveat as before. It's one preseason game. You said it before with Robert Williams. You tend to fall on old habits sometimes. So we know that Terry Rozier is potentially going to go back to being Terry Rozier. But still, 9 assists, and afterwards saying that that's what coach needed, that's what coach asked for. Well, I'll tell you what, Brad Stevens didn't ask for pull-up threes with 18 seconds on the shot clock. That's not what Brad Stevens asked for. Brad Stevens asked for the same exact damn plays that you are making in this game. It shouldn't take getting $20 million to make those plays. If you had made those plays, you would have gotten 25. So it's just
maybe
infuriating. Infuriating.
Consider this. Maybe if James Borrego was coaching the Celtics last season, Kyrie Irving would still be on the team.
Oh.
Really makes you think.
How about that? Flip that. Flipping that. So clearly the entire point of this rant is that Borrego greater than symbol Brad Stevens.
You're 100% right about all that. All of that is true. I just want to bring up my favorite, not my favorite Terry Rozier quote, but it's in the top, ten for
of
me.
All time.
It's in my top 10 of Rozier quotes, and Rozier drops some gems. So to have a top 10 quote is pretty good.
He's one of those guys that we're going to miss, like, quote wise, for sure. Yes, for
absolutely.
Sure.
And, you know, another guy with edge. So somebody asked him, how have you tried to establish yourself as a leader? And I always do kind of think that the leader thing is a little overblown. It's like sometimes, like, all right. Yeah, yeah. So like sometimes, you know, a guy is a leader, isn't a leader. Sometimes it doesn't matter. Like, I don't know how good of a leader James Harden is, but man, that guy can hoop. Like, it doesn't really matter. And like, you know, like Kyrie Irving wasn't a great leader, and man, he can hoop. But also, like, Kemba seems to be a leader from everything everybody said, and he also can hoop. Like, I don't know. I think it's kind of overblown one way or the other. Terry's response, and I love it because he started off trying to talk, you know, connect with guys, and like he's like trying to give the answer, and then he like that everybody wants, and then he sort of like is like, I don't have all the answers. I ain't the best leader. I know that. I'm just trying to keep learning and keep growing, man. And like, I ain't the best leader.
I ain't the best leader. Like, that's,
oh man,
you know,
it's just the perfect Rozier quote. It's the perfect Rozier quote because on the one hand you're like, well, maybe you should try to be a leader, but on the other hand you're like, man, I really respect a guy who just kind of knows who he is. Like, he's like, yeah, I'm not really a leader. Like, you know, hopefully people don't follow me.
I mean, seriously, that was an excellent Terry Rozier quote.
It reminds me of like this Bill Burr moment where Bill Burr was like he said something awful and the crowd started to applaud, and he's like, no, don't follow me. I don't read.
Very similar to that. Very similar to that. Although I'm sure that the Hornets, after having committed about $60 million to him, would like to hear something other than, I ain't a good leader. Yeah, like,
yep.
Respect for the honesty, but I'm sure Michael Jordan's like, say what now?
I mean, this is the great thing about being reporters, though, is that we don't have to care about that stuff. We just get to, like, enjoy the great quotes.
The great quotes are, you know, they are our lifeblood. They sustain us on these impending cold winter nights. So. All right, that's a fun place to end the podcast. Stick around for a lot more coming up this week. We're daily, we're free, so give us that subscription. Read our stuff on masslive.com/Celtics. The basketball is back, and we've got like a ton of content, And so check us out, because basically everything you want covered is covered. You know, it also helps us out, you know, keeping our jobs and such. So please go read that stuff. Subscribe to the show. 5-star rating, a good written review also helps out a tremendous deal. So do that. Share the podcast. Tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.